Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Let's begin reading, and this is one of those where you almost need to go back to the first verse to properly get the context, but I don't want to
take that much time, so let's just jump in verse number 7. And if you're able to, and I ask that you stand out of respect for the Word of God as we read down through verse number 12. Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 7. Wherefore, I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Father, I thank you for this passage of Scripture. Bless us now as we consider just a few simple thoughts this morning. May your name be uplifted and glorified throughout it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. We've been looking at having hope in God because of the world and the things going on in it today with the coronavirus pandemic and the rioting. I almost chuckled. I mean, I shouldn't have, because it was kind of sad, but they're not calling them protests anymore, at least the news that I heard. They call it a rally. If I was at a rally and places were being looted and burned down and cars overturned, I think I'd call that a riot. But anyway, I know that's not happening everywhere. Those are the ones we hear about. But nevertheless, there's chaos in our world. And we know from what the Word of God tells us, I don't know if we'll get that far in 2 Timothy chapter 3 tonight. We looked at it earlier in the chapter, but he revisits that same thought that as the end approaches, and what I mean by end, the world as we know it, God has told us that Jesus Christ is coming back again at any moment in what we call the rapture. At that time, all the dead in Christ will be resurrected from the graves. The graves will be open. They'll join their they'll join their soul, and their bodies, though they may have been decomposed, will be changed to their glorified bodies. And those that are alive at that moment, our bodies will be instantaneously changed on our way up to heaven and will be with the Lord. 7 years, this earth will be plunged into the great tribulation. Following that, the Lord will mount his white horse and he'll ride back down. We'll follow on horses. And then what will happen is what we know as the Battle of Armageddon, concluding the tribulation. Then 1,000 years, Christ will rule and reign from Jerusalem over the entire planet. And after that 1,000 years, time will be no more. Just in a nutshell, and next Sunday morning we'll start our study in the book of Revelation. I hope you'll be with us throughout that whole study. But that's what I mean by the end. As those days approach, as what's next on the calendar is that rapture, as that gets closer and closer, and though we don't know the day, though we don't know the time or the hour, we do know that as we see this world plunging into chaos, that it's just going to get worse. And how can the Christian have hope? How can we have confidence in these days? And so we've been looking at things we can have confidence in God for, hope in God for. One is salvation, the fact that God saves. Then we looked at we can have hope in God for heaven, that God rewards. We saw last time that God knows best. And even though it may seem like things are spiraling out of control, we believe that God knows best. And so we have confidence and hope, and we don't have to become unfrazzled and everything else. We can just stay calm and peaceful through it all. This morning, I want to consider the fact that Christians have hope in God for prayer. Open God for prayer. The fact that God answers prayer. And as we focus in on verse number 12 this morning, there's three things that we see about the Christian and prayer. And all this is made available by faith. And I believe that's where we start. Now, the three things we'll see are boldness, access, and confidence. All three of those are in there in regards to prayer in Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 10. But I'm not going to necessarily take them that order. In fact, I want to start with access. To think about the fact that you and I have access to the God who created the heavens and the earth, to the God who formed us in our mother's womb, who allowed conception to take place, who had the hairs of our head numbered, who knew all that we would be and all of our potential while we were yet in our mother's womb. We can have a relationship with this one and access to his throne through faith in Christ. Now, not everyone has access. An unbeliever has no access to God, at least no right of access. Now, the illustration I give is when my kids were growing up, we often had their friends at our house, especially in the other church. We always had the neighborhood kids at our house all the time. And if they got hungry, guess what I didn't have to do? If I didn't feel like it, I didn't have to get them anything to eat. They might have said, "Pastor, can I have something to eat?" And I had every right to say, "No, wait till you go home. Or if you're that hungry, go get something at your house." Now, if you know me well enough, you know that's my character. God gave me someone completely the opposite. That is not my wife's character. She will feed them no matter how busy she is. But the illustration and the point here is that that wasn't my child. I have no obligation, and I don't feel bad telling them no. But if it's my own children, and they say, "Dad, can I have something to eat?" Then I'm going to find them something to eat and make sure there's something there for them, because then it's my responsibility, it is my duty as a parent. And when we think about having access to God, only those that are His children have a right of access. Those that are not His children do not have the right of access. Now, that does not mean that God doesn't answer a lost person's prayer. I'm glad God does answer some lost people's prayer, because I know as a 19-year-old young man that was lost, that God answered several very specific prayers. And the answering of those prayers led to my salvation. And so I'm glad that there are times when God does answer a lost man's prayer, but He has no obligation, no responsibility. But to think that you and I have access to God, the God who holds all these worlds in place, as the Word of God describes it for us in Colossians chapter 1, by Him all things consist. When He uses that word consist, it just simply means He holds it all together. He keeps it from spinning apart or falling apart and breaking down. You know, the universe is such an ordered thing by God's design. And so the first thing we find about prayer, and we can have hope and confidence in God, is that we can have access by faith in Christ. If you're here this morning and you know the Lord is your Savior, you know you have access because God is your Father. You can have that confidence. You don't have to wonder if God hears. God promises you access. But you know, access does not necessarily give us boldness in prayer. That's the second thing we'll look at. Look at one of my favorite verses in Hebrews chapter 4 on prayer. Hebrews chapter 4. That would be, if you have a Rock of Ages study Bible, page 1713. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 16. We're talking about boldness. Just because we have access doesn't mean we can come, that we will come boldly. But God wants us to come boldly. God wants us to bring our every need, our every care, our every concern before His throne of grace. He wants to help you. He wants to be real in your life. He wants to have a part of your life. He wants to be involved in your life. But He'll only do it if you'll allow Him. And the way you allow Him to do that is through prayer, saying, God, help me here. I can't do it on my own. God, I need wisdom. I need guidance. Will you help me? God says, of course I will. I'd love to. He's sitting, so to speak, on the edge of His seat, just waiting for you to come. And every time you turn around, He is encouraging us to be bold in our prayer life. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 16, He says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, it's interesting that God calls His throne a throne of grace. What is grace? Grace is getting what we don't deserve. Getting what we don't deserve. Because when it comes to getting answers to our prayers, sometimes we think, well, I'm going to have to live really good before God, obeying Him at every turn, because I really, 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 really want Him to answer this prayer. Well, that's not the way God operates. You see, God says that He will answer your prayer just because you're His child, whether you deserve it or not. He says, my throne is a throne of grace, and you'll receive mercy, and you'll find grace to help in your time of need. And so He encourages us over and over again to come boldly before His throne. And so we have access, we have boldness, but then thirdly, we have confidence. You see, this is a whole other part of the ballgame when it comes to our prayer life. First, knowing that we can come, we have a right before His throne. Then second, turning that into boldness, but then confidence, knowing that He'll not only allow us into His presence, but that He'll hear our requests, and that He'll respond to our need. Look over, if you would, in 1 John chapter 5, 1764, in your Rock of Ages study Bibles. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 14. A wonderful promise from God on how we can have not just access and not just boldness, but we can have confidence that God will hear and answer our prayers. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 14. God just simply puts it this way, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. And so here we just have a very forthright promise from God. He doesn't beat around the bush. He doesn't give it something in form of parable where we have to figure it out. But He just says very clearly, very easy for us to understand, that He will hear and He will answer your prayers. And so we know that we can have access, boldness, and confidence in our prayer life. The Word of God is full of promises. God over and over and over again repeats this theme. Then the question comes, that you knew I was going to ask, but you hoped I wouldn't ask. How is your prayer life? Does it respond to the promise of God in faith, knowing that God wants you to pray, and God wants you to pray, and He's waiting for you to pray, and sometimes He doesn't meet your needs or your desires simply because you don't pray? We have not because we ask not, James tells us in chapter 4. Why don't we pray more? If I had the answer to that, I'd be a millionaire, because I'd write a book and everybody would buy it. And because everybody wants to pray and everybody wants answers from God. But you know what? I really do have the answer. Just do it. Okay, I know Nike ruined that phrase, but it's still true. That's all there is to an effective prayer life. Just do it. How about you this morning? Will you be a person of prayer based on the promises of God through faith in Christ? Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the encouragements we have to prayer. Help us to be people of prayer. Father, we know that without you, we can do nothing. And so, Father, help us to recognize that. Our own inabilities, but your super ability and your desire to help. Father, we do pray for our leadership here in our nation, on our state level and community level as well. Give them wisdom, give them guidance to use wisdom to be able to return our lives back to normal. Bless us now as we go our separate way. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.